Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of this year's brand new Daily Hope Advent Calendar. It's beautiful. Just go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Choosing to Manage My Mind.
So the first enemy is inside, and that is my old nature. The second enemy is the enemy around me. That's Satan. And Satan is the second enemy, and he wants to change your mind in all the wrong directions. Now, let me say this very clearly. If you have Christ in your life, then you have power greater than Satan. Satan cannot force you, if you're a Christian, Satan cannot force you to do anything. The only way he can influence and control your life is by suggestion. And when he puts those suggestions in your mind, we call that temptation. So he can't force you to do anything, but he can suggest. And when you don't learn how to control your mind, you don't learn how to manage your mind, make your mind mine, then you're going to let that stuff in. Satan is continually planting negative thoughts, negative ideas, negative impressions. The moment you wake up, he's telling you to do the exact opposite of what God wants you to do. Go ahead, do that. You deserve it. Get angry. You need to get even with that person. How dare they say that about you? You need to get back at them. And he's giving you all, where do you think that's coming from? He's just feeding you ammunition. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul talks about a guy who had sinned in the church. He says, I've forgiven that man. I didn't hold on to a grudge. Why? So that Satan won't outsmart us, for we're very familiar with his evil schemes. Did you know that anytime you refuse to forgive anybody, you've fallen for Satan's trap? God is not the one who wants you to hold on to hurt. Satan's the one who wants you to hold on to hurt. He wants you to hold a grudge. He wants you to be unforgiving. Anytime I won't forgive somebody, I've given in to a thought, a suggestion that Satan's given me. So I've got the self, an old nature within me, and then I've got Satan around me and then against me. Then I've got the third enemy, which is the world, and that's the world's values. Now, the world's values are constantly in opposition to everything God wants. And they're promoted all around you. Advertisers promote the world's values. Movies promote the world's values. TV, music promotes the world's values. Celebrities promote the world's values. Everybody around, there's not anybody around you in the world who's actually encouraging you to do the right thing. They're saying, you got to do what's best for you. Think of yourself. That's why when I wrote Purpose-Driven Life in the first sentence, it's not about you, is the most countercultural statement you could possibly be, because everything in this world says it's all about you. It's all about you. And you don't need to think about anybody else. Just think about yourself. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, all that is in the world, and then it lists what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of this world. Have you noticed that there's nothing around you that encourages you to be disciplined? Nobody encourages you to be disciplined. It says, give in to the lust of the flesh, give in to the lust of the eyes, give in to the pride of life, give in to passion, possession, and position, give in to sex, salary, status, give in to living for yourself. I want to feel this way. I want everybody to worship me. So how do you fight that mental battle? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 says this, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. The weapons of the world today are primarily political. We don't use those weapons. The Bible says our weapons have divine power, And what do they have divine power to do? To demolish strongholds. Now, if you're taking notes, circle the word stronghold, because I'm going to come back to that word in just a minute. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish any argument and every pretension that sets itself up, like in our minds, against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, we're in a wrestling match with our thoughts, and we got to pin them down. It's a mental battle. Now, it says that in your mind, you have what are called strongholds. Circle that again. Strongholds or underline. What is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is a lie that I believe, and I'm acting on the basis of that. Anytime I believe a lie, and all lies come from the devil, so Satan's the father of their lies. Anytime I believe a lie about God, that's a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about myself, that's a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about the world or about the future or the past or the present, that's a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about money or I believe a lie about sex, that becomes a stronghold in my life. It can be a false value. It could be a worldview like hedonism, live for pleasure, or materialism, live for money. The ghost can become strongholds when money becomes the most important thing in my life. That's a stronghold. A stronghold can be a personal attitude. I've met people who the stronghold in their brain was worry. I've met people who the stronghold in their brain was depression. I've met people whose stronghold was resentment or envy or pride or self-conceit or ego. Now, I want you to notice two phrases in that passage. It says, we take captive, which means we bring it under control, we conquer it, we capture it. That's a war term. We have to bring our thoughts captive. We don't just let them go all over the place. And it says, we make it obedient. In other words, we bring it in submission. You say, well, that's great, Rick. I'd like to do that. I'd like to have more control over the way that I think. How in the world do I do that? How do you make your mind mind you? Well, first you just admit that they don't always mind you. You confess, you know what? My thoughts disobey me. They rebel. My mind has a mind of its own. It often goes off in a different direction. I don't intend to. In other words, have you ever started praying and you're praying and wanting to pray about something and all of a sudden the worst idea starts coming in your mind? Your mind is going off in a different direction. I said it a few weeks ago, when I need to ponder, my thoughts want to wander. And when I want to pray, they drift away. The reason most people are ineffective and defeated in life is they don't know how to fight the battle of the mind. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to go into great detail in this series, specifically about how temptation captures your attention and the simple steps that you need to take to defeat it. Because once you know how temptation works, it can't defeat you anymore because you know how to stop it before it gets to step two or three or four. You get it stopped at step one. But I will tell you this this weekend, the best time to win the battle in your mind is before it happens. And that means you choose to do what we've just talked about, to feed your mind the truth before you get in a mess. You choose every moment to free your mind from destructive thoughts by learning to control, and we're going to talk about that more and more in the weeks ahead. Psalm 119:112 says this, I've made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. I've made up my mind to obey your laws no matter what. Now, I want to mention a third and final step in this introduction. First, I have to feed my mind with the truth over and over and over if I'm going to remake my mind. Second, I have to free my mind from destructive thoughts by choosing to mentally shift channels. And third, I must not only feed and free, I must focus. I must focus my mind on the right things. And that's how you get the freedom. Focus my mind on the right things. Now, a couple weeks ago, in a previous message, I talked about a dozen or 11 things to have the mind of Christ. Let me just mention three things that will make the biggest difference in your mental state. And if you'll just work on these this week, and next week in our next session, we'll come back and talk about further steps. But there's three simple steps to get you started today on how to manage your mind and make your mind mind. Number one, think about Jesus. Okay, write that down. If I want to learn how to manage my mind, I need to actually develop the habit of thinking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus Christ. You've heard it said, you know, you become whatever you think about most. Well, 2 Timothy 2:8 says, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. So think about Christ. Hebrews 12:3 says, think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. So do not get tired and stop trying. What gives you the power to keep on going when you feel like giving up? Think about Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Number two, think about others. Do you realize what a radical statement that is? When I say it's not about you, you think about others. Philippians 2 verse 4 says this, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they're doing. So what I'm saying is when you're in a situation tomorrow or even today and you stop, first I say, okay, think about Jesus. What would Jesus do in this situation? And then second, think about others. What do other people need in this situation? Stop and intentionally think about Jesus and intentionally think about others. Would that transform your life if you thought about each other and other people first? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think about each other and let us help each other to show love and to do good deeds. Anybody who starts thinking about other people is going to shine in this world because most of the world isn't thinking about other people. They're just thinking about themselves. Think about Jesus. Think about others. And number three, this will radically change your life. Think about eternity. You don't do that very often. You're so caught up in the here and now and what's happening right now. You don't think about eternity. And yet Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says this, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't only think about things down here on earth. In other words, you've heard people say, well, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You know what? That's a bunch of baloney. It's impossible to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. What is possible is to be so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. You can't help anybody because you're just thinking about earth. The truth is, the heavenly minded people always have done the most good in this world for thousands and thousands of years. So think about heaven. Think about eternity. Think about this life is not all there is, that there's more to life than just here and now, that the stuff that I'm so worried about, what people think of me, it's not going to matter in 5 years, much less in 50 or in 1,000 years or in eternity. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says this, no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard and no mind has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. One of the reasons we have a hard time thinking about eternity, it's a mind blower because it's in a dimension we don't even understand. We understand 2D and 3D, but there are dimensions we don't even know about. And if God, who created this world with so much beauty and color, spent 7 days figuring this one out, and he's had all of eternity to prepare heaven, think about how amazing heaven is going to be. The guy who invented sunsets and ocean views and all of the beautiful things in the world, that God is the God who's created heaven. Now, when you start thinking about all of your problems and the little nitpicking problems are going to just seem so big in your life. But when you start thinking in light of eternity that my life here on earth isn't really that long. And even if I had problems my entire life, it's nothing compared to the glory and the joy and the pleasure and the enjoyment of the things we're going to have to look forward to in eternity. Everything else is inferior compared to that. So let me sum it up. I need to feed my mind on truth every day. I got to get in this book. I need to free my mind from destructive thoughts by catching them. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. And mentally shifting the channel. You don't have to think a thought. You don't have to think depressive thoughts. You don't have to think worried thoughts. You don't have to think hurtful thoughts. You don't have to think resentful thoughts. You can change the channel of your mind quite easily. And so I refocus. And I choose not to think about them by changing the way I think. And then I focus my mind on the right thing. And when I'm focusing on the right thing, then I don't have to pay attention to the wrong thing. When I'm watching television and I don't like what I see, I just flip the channel and I just change the attention so I'm no longer upset by that. It's very, very simple. But I want you to remember these three things. Every day, feed my mind with truth and focus my mind on eternity and forget all the other stuff. Just get it out of my mind. Rethink my life. Return to what God wants me to do and change my attention. Let's pray together. Can I pray for you? Let's bow our heads. Father, you gave us our minds and we're made in your image. And the only reason we're created is we're made in the image of the Creator. This is the greatest gift that you've ever given us, the gift of intellect. And we realize that because our minds are our greatest asset, then it's also the greatest battleground. And we realize that a lot of times there's a battle going on and we don't even realize that it's going on, but that the world and the flesh and the devil are all teaming up to thwart our best intentions. And so we need your help. Now I'm going to ask you to pray. Why don't you say a simple prayer like this? Just say, God, help me to put into practice what I've just heard. Help me to put into practice what I've just learned. Say, God, help me to do what you've called me to do, to make these choices on a daily basis. I want to feed my mind with truth. I want to free my mind from destructive thoughts by turning the channel and taking every thought captive. And I want to focus my mind on the right things. I don't want my mind to run wild. Help me to be wise to temptation. And God, today, I'm going to make up my mind to obey your word and to believe your truth no matter what. Help me to think about Jesus. Help me to think about others. Help me to think about eternity so that my life may be truly transformed. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. Now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, fall is here, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we wanted to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife Kay created a brand new Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, friends, one of the most common questions that you hear this time of the year is, are you ready for Christmas? It's a question that shows how much preparation we think is necessary just to celebrate this holiday and this holy day. We think getting ready for Christmas means putting up decorations and buying and wrapping gifts and sending cards and planning meals and helping with school plays and church musicals and office parties, and the list goes on and on, making sure that we help all the people who are in need. But does doing all that really get us ready for Christmas? Will making it through a checklist prepare me for celebrating the birth of Jesus? We both know the answer is no. And we both know that it's too easy to get so caught up in doing too many things, many of them good things, but so many things that we forget the real reason for the season. So you know what? Here at Daily Hope, we've put together a brand new resource that I want you to have. I hope it will help you really get ready for celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's an Advent calendar. A calendar of preparation. And each day on this calendar, you'll open one Bible verse. And then you just turn to the corresponding page in a companion book that we've put together, and you read through the very short spiritual growth devotional. Now, it only takes a couple minutes to read the Bible verse and the devotional, but it's going to prepare your heart for the coming of Christ at Christmas. My hope is that this resource, this Advent calendar, will help you spend the holiday expressing your gratitude to God, worshiping instead of worrying, and taking things off your schedule so you can appreciate the true meaning of Christmas. I don't want you to miss the miracle of Jesus this Christmas.
You'll want to get the all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar and Devotional Booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st, and we'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift of support to the Ministry of Daily Hope. Contact us today in order to get your copy in time for Advent. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.